Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
This is embarrassing. You should not be listening to this show. What the hell is that about? The hell are you doing?
And now, today's episode.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. That's your welcome. I'm Ron Van Dam. How did you guess? You're amazing. Tell me quick, what'd you have for dinner last night? See, you don't remember. You have no idea. Your brain's gone. I'm telling you. It's day 100 of the social experiment. And I think most of us are going nuts, but comfortably nuts. Wasn't that a Pink Floyd song, Comfortably Nuts? Oh, Numb. Okay. Same thing. Okay. All right. That'll do it. Let me introduce some of the people that make this show what it is. It's their fault. John Shanahan, man, comedian, writer, funny man, wonderful guy. He does the opening announcements and the little bumps between things and the comedy commercials. John Shanahan, ladies and gentlemen. Google him. You'll find all kinds of interesting stuff. He does a hypnagogue program. Check it out. Jason Shaw, he composed the opening theme that you're listening to now, and he's a great guy, does much of the incidental music. Incidentally, he does most of the incidental music on this program. Thank you, Jason. You're a good man. Thank you for letting us do this. And then, oh my goodness, Nicole Reed, she books most of our national interviews, because I don't know what I'm doing. She does. She has a way with people. And she's also that British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program, Nicole Reed, ladies and gentlemen. Those are just a few of the contributors to the program. Okay, that's enough. I am prepared now to sit down and write a book. I've written two books before, one about weddings and the other about society, growing up in the world. And now my book, I think, is going to be titled Sheer Stupidity. It's not about me. It's about you. Not you. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about everybody else. Sheer stupidity. We see it every day. It's about time we called people out on it and pointed it out. Because I believe if you tell someone they're stupid, they'll change. Right. Anyway, who knows? I have no idea. I have a lot of time on my hands, apparently. So I might as well write a book. What the hell? Hey, welcome to the program. How are you? Good to be with you. I have a great guest coming up later in the program. As you know, getting back to normal may not necessarily happen. So the new normal would be e-commerce. Not so much going into stores anymore, but maybe checking things out in the store and then buying it online somewhere else. Who knows? But most of our purchases will be made online within a very short period of time if it hasn't happened already. And we have an expert in that field who's going to give us a forecast as to where businesses are actually going to end up when this whole thing is said and done, or even during it. So We'll talk about that later on in the program. I know you're waiting with bated breath. I don't know what that means, by the way. Bated breath? What? Is that a fishing term? How do you bait your breath? And ew. Breath is horrible, man. It's horrible. Do you ever, I know when I was younger, I had quite a sexual life going on. It was pleasurable for quite a number of years till I settled down. Then the choices were few or nil. I had a fine time when I was a young adult. I exercised my stuff, so to speak. And I remember on a few occasions there'd be this beautiful, beautiful woman. I mean, just gorgeous. Personality seemed pretty good too. I thought, what can go wrong now? Wonderful personality, gorgeous human being, attractive. What could possibly go wrong? And then when I got intimate with her, or even just making out, I'm sorry, once again, children, please leave the room. I'll wait. Get them out of here. Please tell them to leave. Please. This is embarrassing for me. Are they gone? Okay, good. Even when I was making out with them, something came up that just has driven me bats the rest of my life, and that is bad breath. Man, some of these women, I don't know what the deal was. They worked in a fishery. I have no idea. They were churning garlic in their throat. I don't know, but they just stunk to high heaven. It's funny because when your breath is bad and you have stinky breath, which is awful, there's no way to be intimate. For me, there's no way to be intimate when you have stinky breath. It's just, who died inside your body? I mean, I can't. Give me a call sometime when I can't smell you anymore. It's awkward to have sex with a clothespin on your nose or a nosepin on your clothes. Got that wrong almost. I don't understand it. See, people who have bad breath, they don't know it because you pretty much can't smell your own breath. You know, sometimes you'll take your hand if you think you had like onions or something and you're about to go out on a date or something like that or be with other people, God forbid. You take your hand, you cup your hand, and you put it over your nose and your mouth, and you breathe out. And you figure, this is common sense, right? You figure if you breathe into your hand, then your breath will go back through your nose, and you can smell whether you have bad breath or not, or bad breath. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It's been medically proven that doesn't work. Your perception of your own breath is totally off. So you really don't know. So you have to go asking people, do I smell to you? Do I smell? Oh, there's one of those questions again. If I say yes, you hit me, don't you? If I say no, I'm lying and I'm putting both my life and others you come in contact with in great jeopardy. I'm in trouble no matter what. It's like, does this dress make me look fat? Well, obviously, yes. But can I tell you that? No, I can't. So what do? I just all of a sudden make believe I fainted. Ronnie, you all right? Yeah, I don't know what came over me. I don't know. I have the vapors. And it's coming from your mouth. Bad breath, man. I can't handle it. Can't handle it. Brush your teeth, gargle, do something. Garlic's a wonderful thing. I see it. I see it all the time. I love the smell of garlic from a great distance. Italian food. Little garlic smell, fine. Little is fine. But if you eat a lot of garlic and it gets into your pores, you see, and it's not even coming out of your breath as bad as that can be, it's oozing out of your pores. You're like a skunk that's just been hit on a highway by a car. It's just for miles they can smell you. And you have no idea. You have no idea. So for me, it's very difficult to be intimate when someone stinks. It just ruins the party. It's like celebrating a party and all of a sudden the Grim Reaper comes through the door and takes everybody to hell. It's just It's not a pleasant party at that point. I can't handle it, man. I can't handle it. But then there are people who love garlic and don't mind the smell of other people smelling like that. Oh, my God. Okay, I don't know what planet you're from or what planet I may be from, but we're very different. I'll tell you a very, very quick story. And it's going to be quick because it's not that great a story. It's a pretty lousy story. But, well, here's the story.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
I spent many of my years as a wedding videographer. I've talked about this before. I did it because I got paid a lot of money to go to parties and to just have a good time. I didn't have to interact with anybody because you're not supposed to do that. You just capture what's going on, and that's the essence of a great natural documentary video. Some of my compatriots would interview the guests at the table.
Hi, Bobby and Marcia. We hope you have a wonderful life together.
Oh my God, could you get any cheesier than that? Or do you want to see like people shut up and if they want to say something, they say it, but to shove a microphone in somebody's face and say, say something nice. I find that invasive. So anyway, so I did wedding videography for a long time, and I remember going to a church in Duxbury, Massachusetts. It doesn't matter where it is. I just threw that in. And I get to the church there and videotape the whole thing and videotape the wedding. And the groom shows up. Groom shows up first. The bride comes about like half an hour later. Groom shows up. He walks into the church with his groomsmen. And all of a sudden, there's this incredible stench. Oh, it's the guy probably ingested the night before 29 bulbs of garlic. He reeked of garlic. It was not only coming out of his pores; you could see it coming out of his pores. It was. As soon as he walked in the church, the statue of Jesus on the altar actually covered its nose. I don't know how that's possible. It was a miracle. And I remember the priest was walking up to the groom to congratulate him and say hello, and the priest outstretched his hand and got into the smelled the garlic and went, Jesus. Even he said Jesus. The guy stunk. He stunk. It was a large chapel, a large church. He filled that room with so much garlic smell, it was unbelievable. I mean, garlic mixed with your body odor is just a, oh my God, it's like going to a funeral and they forgot to embalm the body. And whoa, Bobby smells really bad. So anyway, they go through the whole wedding. No one says anything because you don't say anything. You just go through it. You just shut up and you go through it, just as I was doing. I didn't walk up to the groom and say, you stink too much. I'm leaving. Here's your money back. I didn't say that because they paid ahead of time. I was smart. I always had them pay ahead of time in full. I wasn't stupid. I knew how to do business. They had a receiving line afterwards, and I'm thinking, okay, at least they'll be outside. No, they decided to do the receiving line after the ceremony inside the church, in the church lobby. So, I mean, it was just watching the expression of the guests going through the line. It was some people's faces were melting. It was horrendous. It was the worst wedding I had ever done because of this stinky guy. But he had no idea how much he stunk. And I don't think anybody told him. I got to tell you something. If I were the bride, I would have said, excuse me, this is not happening. you freaking stink. You're embarrassing me in front of all the, they're like 200 guests. You're embarrassing me in front of my family, my friends. You freaking stink. You've ruined my wedding. You stinking bastard. But she didn't. She was being a nice lady. I would have, if I were the bride, I would have spoken up. I would have said, you see this knee? Watch it go to your crotch. You ruined my special day. You stinking selfish bastard. But, and there's a big but, and it's not yours, but I was stoic. I went through it and I came out on the other side. But I've been marred the rest of my life against garlic breath. It just, can't do it. I just can't do it.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
Do you like burgers? It's a great summer dish. Burgers on the grill? Maybe not.
It's like every burger joint that I go to is like, your cheese lover's burger, your bacon lover's burger, your burger lover's burger. What's a guy to do if you just love lettuce?
Well, you're in luck, because Burger Guy is proud to introduce the new Lettuce Extreme. A quarter of a quarter pound of succulent beef piled high with cool, crisp lettuce, iceberg, romaine, bib. It's a lettuce lover's dream, and it's only at Burger Guy.
Thanks, Burger Guy. Now I know where to go to get my lettuce on.
At participating Burger Guy locations for a limited time only. Supersize it with our metric ton of fries and keg of soda for just 12 cents extra. Price, participation, quality, condition, variety, and availability of lettuce may vary.
Okay, my guest is going to join us momentarily. I wanted to prepare you for this because I think he had garlic last night for dinner. And I know this is like coming through a speaker, but it could be that bad. No, that's not true. I'm just saying things. I'm just filling time is all I'm doing. Hey, have you barbecued recently, by the way? I live in the Massachusetts General Ballpark area. And it's been hot here. It's been humid every single day for about a week and a half. It's very, very humid. You know, the Wicked Witch of the West and the Wizard of Oz, where she's famously says her line, I'm melting. I melted. I've already melted. At the humidity, my hair is standing up. My one hair is standing up because it's frizzing. My body is constantly moist. That sounded wrong, didn't it? But it is, because the humidity is so high. The clouds are packed with water. I mean, if someone took a needle and punctured one of those clouds, it would come down in torrents. Torrents. Isn't that somebody's name? That's Terrence. Isn't there a Torrance? I'm not sure. It's been very humid and very, very hot. Temperatures in the high 80s, and mid-90s and high 90s, and just all kinds of horrible combinations. And I came to the realization that I freaking hate summer. I hate summer because summer isn't supposed to be 90 degrees every day with high humidity. The hell's that about? That's summer? No, that's not what it is in the pictures and in the movies. People are having picnics and the wind is flowing through their hair and they're eating sandwiches and running on the beach and they seem quite comfortable. I don't see in the movies and in the things where they go out on a summer day and their hair is frizzing and there's sweat dripping from the tip of their nose. No, I don't see it. So what kind of summer is this? Every summer for the past like 5-10 years, we've been surpassing our hottest days. We always set records every single year for the hottest day of the year. So it's getting hotter every single year. There's going to come the point where stepping on the sun is going to be a relief. We're going to do like fire walking on the ground, like walking on hot coals. It's awful, man. Now I'm yearning for the winter. And I said to myself, well, maybe I can go somewhere where it's not so hot. it's freaking summer everywhere. I went to Toronto, Canada, which is where Toronto tends to be, and Montreal, and you figure, I'm going into Canada. That's like way up there. It's got to be cool up there, at least a little cooler. No, it's even hotter up there. It's not good because it's inland. There's no oceans up there. They don't make them up there. It's awful, man. Can't go to the Midwest, can't go to the South, can't go to South America. My God, that's like rainforest stuff. I can't go to Europe because of the virus thing. So I can't go anywhere, as a matter of fact. So I'm pretty much stuck in this blanket of hot warmth. It's like someone's put my face in the oven, and I've got another like 20 minutes to go before I'm totally baked. I'm tending not to like the summer. Not only is it too hot, but all the bugs, they come out. The bugs come to flies, the tsetse flies, and the mosquitoes, and the black flies. All the bugs come out, and they bite me, and they crawl on me, and I'm hot, and I'm sweaty. It's not fun anymore. Thank you for listening, because I need to unload on somebody. That also sounded wrong. My guest joins us now. I don't even think he stayed around after that. Is he still here? Okay, let's say hello to our guest. David Rusenko joins us now. He is a GM of eCommerce Square, and we're talking about what commerce is like in the wake of this social experiment that we're going through. As I see it, David, we started seeing commerce switching from brick and mortar to e-commerce even before this was a pandemic concept. Brick and mortar was starting to fade away and going to other channels in order to be financially and marketing successful. Was this a major push in a certain direction?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of businesses had considered moving online, even before COVID-19. You know, it was something that was on a lot of people's to-do list. Mm-hmm. But the pandemic really shortened that adoption cycle from 3 years down to, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And, overnight, doing business online became not just a nice-to-have, but a must-have to stay in business. And so, I think this was a new reality that a lot of small businesses were faced with, was the need to adapt. But what we saw was just this incredible resourcefulness and resilience for our sellers who, many of them figuring this out for the first time, how to move online, mm-hmm. Now offering curbside pickup and delivery out of necessity at first. But, what we are seeing now with a lot of the Square sellers is that, now that they've adopted some of these solutions, now that they, are running their business digitally, some of them even are not just staying afloat through the pandemic, but actually expanding through it mm-hmm. as they offer their customers new ways of interacting and doing business with them.
Yeah. There's a report that they put out, the Rise of E-commerce report, and that highlights the movement. And apparently it's showing that there's quite a bit of movement. I guess the big question is, when this whole thing is said and done, will we have gotten used to a new way of doing business and a new way of doing commerce?
Well, I think that is one of the key things is that, the consumer behavior that's formed during this time is mm-hmm. likely to continue and persist. As people get used to, obviously initially for safety reasons, things like curbside pickup, mm-hmm. People are going to realize that that's just a very convenient way
Correct. To
be able to pick up their food or their goods. And so, we're likely to see that continue on. The other thing that's a really big trend is just that the traditional lines that separate, what you would think of as, a restaurant or a food and drink business from a retail business, mm-hmm. from even a nonprofit are completely blurring. We're seeing restaurants as one example in many cases, reinvent themselves overnight. Mm-hmm. And, you'll see a restaurant, one good example is Macri's Bakery in South Bend, Indiana. This is a family-owned restaurant mm-hmm. since 1978, a family-owned bakery since 1978. never done any sales online. Mm-hmm. They quickly shifted within a week to selling online, and not just selling their traditional goods, but also selling groceries, hard-to-find groceries, and retail, also allowing you to donate meals to frontline workers. So there's a business that's been in operation for a very long time doing the same thing that now is blurring both food and beverage with retail, with nonprofits all together and reinventing themselves and finding a lot of success in doing that.
David, I guess that's the big question is, will things ever go back to the way they were, not because they can at a point, but because consumers are just at that point not used to doing it that way anymore. I refer to this as a giant social experiment because I actually believe it's not an experiment, but it's actually what we're going through. Our habits are actually being changed by accepting new habits, and therefore they shall remain.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think, you know, going through any really, you know, incredibly challenging, difficult period, the silver lining in all of it is that, people find new ways to adapt. I mean, humans are nothing if not adaptable. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of new behaviors, new patterns being formed. But, you know, for a lot of small businesses who maybe knew that moving online or, you know, and the interesting thing about moving online is that taking that online order, that's the easy part. The hard part is actually digitizing your business, right, being able to digitize your operations. But once you do that, what I think we're going to see is a lot of small businesses, you started with, you know, Main Street was having really challenging times even before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we're going to see that a lot of these businesses, you know, by moving quickly and adapting, now we're going to come out of this stronger.
Yeah.
A lot of the consumer behavior and patterns are going to shift. Yeah. A lot of that will continue on even when things do come back to normal, because at some point they will. But a lot of these patterns and behaviors will remain.
Yeah. They will to an extent. I think there'll always be a social paranoia now about the next one coming, or every fall, like what's coming out of China now with the flu. I think there's going to be more of a focus on that infinitum. This report, did it break down by cities and geographically where the adoption is becoming more successful?
It did, and that's the interesting thing. You know, if you were to just take a wild guess as to which city would be on the top of the list in terms of adopting e-commerce, you might think of San Francisco, kind of a tech-forward city.
Right.
But actually, the number one city on the list was Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hmm.
San Francisco was actually number seven. So, this really is a phenomenon, and I think this will be obvious to most people, but it really wasn't, just a big city phenomenon. It was coast to coast and everywhere in between. You had all businesses of all shapes and sizes moving online.
Interesting. Very interesting. What are some other interesting cities that overcame and some cities that didn't do well?
Yeah, you have Durham, North Carolina is number two, Portland, number three, Minneapolis, number four, Richmond, Virginia, number five. So it really is kind of a really great representation of cities all across
the
country.
I was trying to look for some kind of similarity between these locations that you mentioned, but I can't see any here from what you've said.
No, I mean, it really is a phenomenon. I mean, it's been to your point of a shared experiment, this is just a collective, countrywide thing that we've all gone through and now figuring out how to cope with and how to adapt.
Yeah. What's the next big trend in e-commerce? Is it to continue, or is there something on the horizon that looks very different?
You know, I think the next big trend in e-commerce, is really about, omni-channel and being able to sell in more than one channel and be where your buyers are. I think that's just going to continue to reinforce. Uh-huh. It does provide, being able to sell online, being able to offer things like, even for retailers, being able to offer on-demand delivery, where you're able to offer two-hour delivery, that's actually an advantage that local retailers have over even large companies like Amazon. They're physically close to their customers, so they can compete with things like offering, one- or two-hour delivery.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. If a small business is listening right now, a local business, and they feel that they haven't gone far enough into this e-commerce market, but they kind of never had to, never did before. Maybe they're just, like you say, a bakery on Main Street that was doing okay before. Where do they turn?
Yeah, so you can learn more about Square's ecosystem of products. We offer products to help you sell online, but obviously, as a lot of people know as well, products, point of sale and in-person payment products as well. So you could go to squareup.com to learn more about our products. And if you're interested in the Rise of E-commerce report, you could go to squareup.com/news.
Wonderful. David, great talking to you. Thanks so much for the information today. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. I don't know how you put up with me. But guess what? I'll be back again tomorrow. I make Wednesday a wonderful day to be alive. So join me then, will you? I hope you do. I'll be sitting right here waiting for you. I'm not going to do anything but sweat. Thank God for air conditioning. What do they do before? Some people don't have air conditioning at all in apartments. They just have fans. I have fans. A few of them. You know what I mean? Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. And wear a mask, damn it. Wear a mask.